This has been quite an exciting year for a lot of us. And you know, one thing is that sometimes people feel like they're floundering from year to year to year, which is really sad when we have the roadmap right here that will get us through every situation in our life. If you're not in the Word every single day, make that your 2016 resolution to draw closer to God by reading the Word and getting into that and praying. It really, really does make quite a difference. So, who's going to be first? We don't want to embarrass anybody, but I just know that God has some people that He really wants you to share what's happened, because while you may think that your story is small and insignificant, it's not. It's going to touch someone else. You know, throughout the year we have testimonies, and it doesn't matter who it is or what their story is. We get emails and calls every single week after that special week of testimony, and someone says, their story touched me. Their story meant something to me. It's making a change in me, which is absolutely incredible. And I think that's very, very exciting to happen. So I'd really, really love for someone to just come up for a moment and share. I'm not going to pick anybody out. We do have a few people that plan on sharing, but Christopher, awesome. He's so quiet, but we love him. We love him.
There you go.
Hey everyone, this year has been very interesting, very memorable, because June, one of my friends, he had told me about TGPA, but he told me about it, and so I just made my way here, and it's been a landslide and an upswing in everything ever since. I've been finding that my relationship with the Lord has grown immensely since coming here. I've been a lot more outspoken about my love for the Lord. God's love for me has just really bubbled up in my heart, and I've just just been wanting to express that more and more and more. God provided a promotion in a very unexpected manner at work, and that has. I mean, I'm an introvert, so that's not been easy for me to step up into a leadership position, but especially these past 2 weeks that's really tested that and really kind of thrown me into that. It's I've never been one to delegate. I've been delegating, which has been interesting too. So it's just been a year of growth for me, and I just hope to continue that, and I thank you guys in part for that. I moved up here from Florida in 2010. For a while, I was just like, oh, well, yeah, the majority of my friends are in Florida. Like 95% of my friends are in Florida. Now it's like 60%, because you guys have grown to be my friends, and you've been my family, and you've just been helping me throughout everything. So to 2016, a year of continued growth.
I know that God has got some special things going on for you, and don't let that leadership start evading you, because that's going to keep rising up. We can feel that. So, he's such a nice young man. He's so sweet, and he says he's an introvert, but we're gonna turn that around. So, okay, who would like to come up next? All right, Crystal. These young ladies have been here, what, about 6 weeks now? You found us through Pride? Yes, all right. That's our largest outreach of the year, and we always get some people that start coming after that, and we just love you guys and are so glad you're here.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, you guys, I'm nervous, so I'm going to look down. 2015 has been one of the hardest years of my life. because I was given away at 8 months in court. My mom and dad stood up and said that they didn't want me. So they gave me to a lady I've known for 21 years. And in 2015, I discovered the truth to why she wanted me and why she had me. It's been rough because I had no family outside of that, besides my wife, my soon-to-be wife. And you guys had made it so much better. I just want to thank everybody who's helped me, who's known my our personal situation. Miss Sylvia, Miss Jane, the pastors, Carrion. I just want to thank you guys. She wanted to walk away at Pride and not go the way of you guys' tent. And I told her we had to walk that way. We just had to. She don't want to listen. We had to go this way. And as soon as we went this way, we saw Miss Sylvia and her daughter. And they stopped us. They talked to us. As Miss Sylvia's daughter was singing, she was like, I'm proud. You guys need to come. There's no. You guys got to come. I was like, Liz don't listen. I don't listen. But we're going to listen today. So we came. And you guys have been amazing. Like, my church life has been, you're told to do this. You're going to do this. And that's it. You guys have given me a chance to be free and loved. And I really want to thank you guys. I really do.
I'm nervous as well. I've kind of been abandoned too. I was given away when I was 7. So I had my mom for like maybe 6 years. First couple of years was fine. And then she was on drugs and it was very difficult. My brother was like 13, my oldest brother. He's 31 now. After that, foster care. For me, most of the time being, I was adopted when I was 13. I wanted to give up on a lot, but the Lord said, no, you can't. I don't care what you say. And I was just like, okay, well, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? Been to Job Corps twice, graduated from high school. I was always told, you know, you're going to be an addict like your mother. You're not going to be nothing. Being gay is wrong. For a minute, I kind of believed it in a way, because as they say, God didn't make even evil, but he brought it to my attention, you're not going to hell. If I made you, something got to be right. I have a hard time trusting people. Not because I don't want to, but because every time I open up, somebody tends to burn me. I give you the shirt off my back. I recently helped someone. I don't regret it. I'm just not very happy with the outcome. I look at it as it's just another stepping stool for me. I can care less about money, but do we need it to survive? Yeah, but I'd rather take God in a box than to be rich and have no sense in the world whatsoever. So since I've been coming here, I've been more open. I'm still nervous, as you can see. I'm nervous when I paced around, that means I'm nervous. Y'all helped me a lot. Y'all helped me to kind of branch out a little bit, and I may not know everybody in the church just yet, but I will. And I just want to personally thank Mama Jane. I see why they call you Mama Jane, and Sylvia, and just all of you guys for praying for us, and because I know that God has, I don't know how, but oddly to say, that's the best part, right? You don't know how he's going to do it, but he just randomly does it. Sylvia brought us a house full of groceries. Like, we had nothing in that house, literally, and I don't know how to take into that, because I was always the giver. I was never the receiver, you know. And a lot of people would look at me and be like, well, you should be bitter because of foster care, because of being beaten and sexually assaulted and all these tough things. But I can't be that way. I believe in my heart that God doesn't want any of us to be that way. Regardless of who does us wrong, love them anyway. Wish them nothing but the best. But just make sure you're focused on God and you stay prayed up and you just you don't turn nasty. And I mean, that's what I learned out of 24 years of my life. Thank God. Again, I just want to thank you guys for welcoming us in. And regardless of what happens to us, I know it's going to be great. She tends to worry a lot because she's been hurt a lot like me, but I refuse to believe that God brought us too far to just dump us and take away what he's given us. So I just ask that you guys continue to keep us in your prayers, and we love you, so thank you.
I just want to say, you're sitting here telling me thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for allowing God to work through me and me get that blessing of being able to help you. Okay?
They are sweet young ladies. I tell you what, Liz, you've got an anointing on you that I don't think you even realize yet. And that's going to keep coming through more and more and more. And God's not dumping you. Don't even think that. He's bringing you through all this for some kind of reason, and it's going to be glorious on the other side. So this year, I had a great opportunity. I came into a new job that has just been tremendous for me. And I went through 2.5 years of un and underemployment before this job came along. And during that 2.5 years, I had to learn how to be humble myself and accept blessings from other people. Because I understand where you're coming from. I was the giver all the time, and I did things for people. And I still did things for people, but not as much as I wanted to. And God said, you need to take a step back. That was not the easiest thing I've ever done, but it brought so much joy, not necessarily to me, but to the people that were able to help me. Because if you don't allow people to help you, you are cutting them off from getting a blessing. So be sure that when someone wants to help you, just pray about it and let them do what God is asking them to do. So, you know, my most favorite scripture is back on the wall, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that's exactly what we all have with God, is a future. Without him, future in life gets really bleak. So, all right. Anyone else that would like to share this morning? Michelangelo. We love you and Claudia. So glad you're here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
So I'm going to start by saying Merry Christmas, because it's still Christmas for a number of days. So Merry Christmas. I don't think any of you can imagine how much each and every one of you have blessed my family since June. We came here to hear a band play on a Saturday night. Granted, it was the Saturday after the Supreme Court made probably the most significant decision of this century. We had no idea what to expect, and stupid me actually just really thought it was going to just be music, and instead we got to hear Christopher Coleman talk. And now, if you've had that experience, you know that you can't walk away from it at least a little changed. And Dimitri, who, for those who don't know, I'm a pastor. I pastor a very small group of very renegade, underappreciated, and under-churched Christians in the Decatur-Tucker area. And it's great, but it's terrible for my son because there are no children. And so Sunday school consists of him and Claudia. And that's like it every other day of the week, and so it didn't get him on fire the way we needed him to be on fire. So that Saturday night, Dimitri says, "Can we come back tomorrow?" And Claudia and I said, "Sure, okay, we'll do that." And we came back. And when I experienced the Holy Spirit, and I know of at least one person in this room who I'm now making direct eye contact with who does the exact same thing, when I start to really experience the Spirit, I cry. Like, I'm about as, I don't know, manly as you get, and I just bawl. And so Sunday we came back, and we sat in the front row, and I bawled. I mean, I cried, and I get into it, and I was even willing to stand for worship. And again, if you know me, you know that that's completely unacceptable. But so, all I'm trying to say is that y'all have been such an amazing blessing to our family. You've allowed me to get back in touch with the guy that God always intended me to be. I had gotten so stuck on the religion to which I am ordained in that I forgot how to be Michelangelo. And being around y'all and seeing the fire that's lit for every single one of you. I mean, people were up here dancing this morning to the Lord. You were dancing in the most undignified King David way possible. And not only was it okay, but it's sort of, I don't know, just part of how we worship here. Other churches don't do that. My churches, we really don't do that. We kneel and bow and that's it. We do calisthenics, but we don't dance. We definitely don't rock out. Matter of fact, it's a big deal now that I play guitar for it sometimes because it was always pipe organs and big choirs. I want you to understand how on fire each and every one of you are for the Lord and what a gift that is to everyone who will meet you, not just in here, but I can tell. I've seen just enough of you outside of this church to know that unlike most churches, when y'all leave here, you stay the same on fire Christians. And again, that's weird. That's not what other Christians do. You guys are Christians 7 days a week. I don't know what's wrong with you. But I want it. My family wants it. My son is inspired by it. Don't let the fire go out. And what does that mean? My guess for 2016 is you keep doing what you did in 2015 and 2014, which is showing up here, worshiping and shaking yourselves silly, hearing people really be, in my liturgical language, vessels for the Holy Spirit. Because when they're up here and they're talking to you, it's not Jane, and it's not Deb, and it's not Keith, and it's not Ginny. It's the Holy Spirit talking through their lips. And the more you hear it and the more you're exposed to it, the more he'll do it with you too. And just as a side note, because this young man got up, one of our traditions, my smiling wife and my son, we open our homes on Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, and Easter Day. So by the way, if you don't have plans for Easter, come to our house. There will be lamb. But this man came at Thanksgiving, and he sat, and he was just so quiet. And we talked, and I actually kind of gave him a little book, and by little, I mean really thick. I never thought that I would see him get up and grab a microphone and address the congregation. Not because he can't, but because he's shy and timid and very soft-spoken and very humble. And he got up first, and he spoke truths about this community and about himself. Just like y'all, 6 weeks in, how long you've been coming? and you grabbed a microphone and you talked in front of everybody. That's this space. That's the Holy Spirit in this space working through all of us. So thank you for making me the me that God knew who I was before I was in my mama's womb. Thank you for bringing that me back out again, because he really missed breathing the air. Thank you for inspiring my son to be happy in church. Thank you for giving my wife an opportunity to lift her hands in praise and shake it with the rest of you. And just thank you for being the blessings that you all are. 2016, things are going to happen in this community. You have no idea. The Lord is going to work through all of us. I'd say all of you. It's all of us. And he's going to do amazing things in this community, in Atlanta as a whole. And it's not going to be just a gay thing, just a trans thing, just a straight thing. It's just going to be a God thing through all of you. So Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
I don't know about you guys, but I've never been called weird in such a nice way. So... Psalms 46:10 says to be still and know that he is God. Being still is not something that we're known for here. I love this morning when all the Jill and Sylvia and all of them got up and danced. They were back there in the back. And Jill, where are you? What did I say? I told them to get up front. You know, don't hide your talents. And she said, I don't know the moves. And I'm like, get up there anyway. So thank you guys for sharing that with us, because it was incredible. I love when you guys do those impromptu things like that. So I'm going to turn the floor over to someone else. Oh, we've got Jace in the back. Yay. Jace has been gone for a year and a half to New Mexico. We're so excited he's here. He is here visiting his family this year, this week. And he texted me this morning and said, are we having church? And I'm like, you better believe it, and you better be there, or something like that. So,
you know, I don't ever come up here.
I'm so glad you're here. So, good.
Well, I will say I have missed this church where I'm at in New Mexico, a little town. So I've missed everybody and how everybody just gets along and just loves God. My family was extremely blessed this year. My sister, for the last 7-8 years, has prayed to be able to adopt. Finally, we got a call on January 6th saying that my sister's the first pick of this lady. And she had the baby on February 24th. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, they brought it home. Well, actually, right before we brought it home, DFS called my mom and sister and said, well, her two full siblings are going into foster care. Would you be interested in possibly taking them and bringing them in foster care? And this is Alabama. This isn't Georgia. My mom says, well, they thought about it and prayed. So they took the two little girls home. So they had one car with one baby seat in, and then they got the two other baby seats from the mother. And from Alabama to here, they came. No clothes, no nothing for the girls. My brother and his wife met them at the house with clothes and toys. And, you know, the two little girls... So we have a newborn now and a 2- and 3-year-old. So talking about hitting all of them at one spot. But the little girls just went straight for the clothes and was putting them on in layers and layers and layers because, you know, they've never had clothes, you know, and, you know, they finally went to the toys last. You know, and I've been in New Mexico this whole time just getting pictures and talking to them on the phone, knowing how lucky they are and by far how blessed we are to have them. I mean, my sister was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. They didn't think she's going to make it. And then about 2 years ago, when I first got here, she ended up having cervical cancer and had to have a hysterectomy. So her shot of ever having a kid was out the window. She's been for 6 years on the adoption list trying to adopt and just never, I mean, went around several times with people that was her first pick and or picked her, and then they just kind of just fell through. And so finally now, instead of one, we got 3 of them. And in June, it was final that we adopted all 3 of them. So this is my They came out to New Mexico to visit me in June and had a blast. Took a pony ride, you know, that kind of fun stuff. And, you know, we're just really blessed. You know, and I was blessed to, you know, at the end of November to get a phone call from my mom and said, you know what, let's bring you home for Christmas. And, you know, to see, you know, see my family and my friends here and get back. I mean, because I don't have a church out there that is like this church. And I miss it. So that's about it.
Those pictures of you and those babies on Facebook, I've never seen such a happy, proud uncle in my life. The smile is just from ear to ear. So I can't wait to see those kitties. I hope I get to see them. I wrote out and I gave to Karen four or five verses that I thought might fit along somewhere in the service. And I just love how God orchestrates everything, because one of the verses is Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. Now, if that is not overflowing with abundance, I don't know what is. Jason and I have talked over the years about his sister wanting to have kids, and that is an amazing story. I know she's a fantastic mother, and Grandma, I know she's happy, and Uncle Jace, so congratulations to all of you. So, Miss Kathy, come share with us. Kathy Barrow.
Morning. I'm the one who bawls. That's who he was doing direct eye contact with. Keith called me this morning and asked if I would share a little bit of the highlights of 2015, and I really can't pinpoint it. God wakes me up every single day, and that's a highlight, because for years I didn't want to wake up. And as most of you know, and some of you don't, I am a recovered alcoholic crackhead who didn't believe she was worthy of anything, let alone love of God. So, through my recovery, I was introduced to a God who loves me, who led me here. And God loves you just the way you are. Amen. And exactly where you are, Amen. He's standing there like this. And you don't even have to move but this much. And he will wrap his arms around you. One of the greatest highlights of 2015 was Pride. I get to stand and tell these young people and older people that God loves you just the way you are. There's nothing wrong with you. And for someone to use his word and twist it to say that there's something wrong with you. And real quick, God likes to use pain with me because I'm a stubborn child and I won't move unless there's pain involved. So I had been working at a job that I should have left years ago, and he shut the door on that job in August. And I've been without a job since August. And but that's exactly where he wants me to be. If there was a job that God wanted me to have that provided a paycheck, I would have it. I already would have had it. What he's got me doing is exactly what he wants me to do. I am y'all's new welcoming committee, so when newcomers come, you will be hearing from me in a couple days. So I made a phone call the other day. I dialed a wrong number, and I had a talk with a stranger for 20 minutes about TGPA. Invited them to come. So it's just, I continue to learn that if I just get out of my own way and let God work through me, I'm stubborn. I stay in my way as long as I can until he kicks me in the pants. But I am right where he wants me to be. And y'all are right where he wants you to be. And your family, you're here once, you're a visitor, you're here again, your family. And here's to a prosperous and abundant new year. Thank you.
Just love those folks. They are incredible. Okay, do we have anybody else? Karen Edwards. Karen always has fabulous things to say, though. I just love her. She's a sweetie.
Well, hopefully I don't disappoint. So first of all, Michelangelo, I'm just going to thank you. You're the reason I'm actually up here right now. After service last week, I think you liked the term weird, because that seems to be a word you use a lot. But he approached me. He said, "Can I say something weird?" Which I'm not thrown off by that, so it was fine. And one of the things that he said was, if I remember correctly, was, "God wants you to use your voice more often." Yes. Which I've known for a long time. It's not a surprise. It wasn't weird to me at all. But I'm also one of those people that's kind of like Jane, where I see something that needs to be done, and I take the initiative. I want to go do it. I want to fill in the gap. When we have ministries here that I'm able to fill in, that's what I want to do, or at least be supportive in some way and try to help find people to plug in. It's something that God's kind of given me naturally that is also the cause of a lot of frustration, where I see a gift in you. I see potential in you. I know what you should be doing. And so I kind of subtly try to get you to go there. And sometimes people follow that and they do great, and sometimes they don't. So in the past few years, I know that God has wanted me to speak. You know, I come up here every once in a while, but usually I've been in the sound booth. I'm an introvert. I'm comfortable there. I'm pretty decent at it. Apparently, some of the singers like it when I'm back there because they know I'm going to pay attention. They know that I'm going to put the words up there. But also, I just kind of tune into the spirit. And so that allows me to help figure out where Deb's going, because if you guys don't know, a lot of times she blends songs. She doesn't go off of her sheet. And so if you're not in tune with the spirit, if you're not in tune with worship when you're back there, you can lose a whole congregation sometimes. And so it's become very important to me that that's an important ministry, and I wanted to be a part of it, because we've struggled, you know, with having people back there and keeping people back there. And so Chris, who's back there right now doing the soundboard, has been an answer to prayer. I think I was gone from church one Sunday, and then I came back, and here was a talented person who knew what he was doing, because when I'm on the soundboard, I don't really know what I'm doing. I kind of depend on James to kind of tell me which knob to turn. I know a few things, but the point is that I saw a need, and I stepped in, and I was willing to do that, because for me, it was important that Bert got the chance to sing. You know, he was back there every single week, and his heart was really to sing up on stage for God. And so why should he be tied down? If I'm sitting right next to him, I can watch what he's doing. Let me step in so that he has that opportunity. And so with Chris coming, there's actually some Sundays where I get to sit down here. And those are the Sundays that usually God gives me something to say, and so I come up here and say it. So that's been excellent to see. One of the things that God talks to me in pictures. So these amazing things or whatever that I say, it's really, God drops a picture in my mind. And I just come up here and I describe what I see. So half the time, I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just words kind of vomiting out of my mouth, and apparently they make sense. Perfect. But that's how God talks to me. And at the end of 2014, God gave me a series of dreams. He does that sometimes. And normally I don't remember anything about my dreams, but sometimes God talks to me in dreams, and so I try to pay attention. And they weren't very nice dreams. They were dreams where I woke up in fear. There were dreams where I woke up because there was a wave crashing over me and I thought I was going to drown. A lot of them had to do with oceans. And so that was kind of a theme for me, especially at the beginning of this year. And God said to me very specifically, he told me a few things in these dreams about what 2015 was going to be like for me, and it wasn't going to be an easy year. But God told me, "I'm going to ask you to cross an ocean." And that's scary, because that could mean anything. You know, what are you going to ask me to do? I knew it had something to do with ministry. Why am I crossing an ocean? Where am I going? You know, God had the grace to show me that the waves were not going to overcome me. You know, I was going to cross, and he even showed me in one of the dreams that there were going to be people that helped me along the way. And he showed me how at first I was going to push them away and say, "No, I don't need your help," which I do often. But I prayed over that dream, and I prayed over that dream, and I thought, "God, I only know one or two faces of the people that you have approaching me." And God told me, "That's because you haven't met them yet. You don't know what they look like." And so I look for all the visitors. So I'm eyeballing you. But no, it's been really great. So a lot of people have approached me, and I've kind of gotten out of my skin a little bit with leading a home group in Kennesaw. And I'm even somewhat organizing a meetup because everyone is really missed the fellowship, and they've missed the community. And so I'm like, well, let's just go do something. So if anyone knows, you know, in Kennesaw Home Group, Kristen's kind of my co-leader. She handles all the Facebook stuff. She handles all the community meetup and stuff like that. And she hasn't been able to because she had this great new job where her schedule's changed. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to step out in faith and do this. But 2015 has not been an easy year. For me to even agree to lead home group again this year was a difficult step of faith. And I say that because, you know, some of you know that right after the cruise, we rescued a dog that we picked up and then found out a week later it was pregnant. And this dog is going to have probably a very big litter. So if you need a puppy for the new year, let me know. But Emily and I were talking and we're like, you know what? This is kind of just the story of our life this year. We've stepped out and we've done something good for other people, or we've stepped out and we've done something good in helping someone, and then we get a problem right afterwards, or a seemingly huge problem right afterwards. We have a two-bedroom house. It cannot fit 15 dogs. So, but it's kind of been like the epitome of this year. It hasn't been easy, especially with our jobs. You know, Emily, for those of you right now, you may or may not even know her because she works almost every Sunday. You know, she manages a store in East Cobb. And so she comes for worship and then she has to leave because she has to go to work. This morning she's not here because she has to work. She's been in a period of building where, you know, she took over the store and she's getting new employees. And then shortly after we found out our dog was pregnant, almost everybody in her store turned in their 2 weeks because they were moving on to better opportunities, which is great for them. You know, I'm all for people, you know, going to better opportunities, but that leaves her in a very difficult spot. And same story's been going on, you know, for me this year in my job. So I don't know what it is, but God seems to think that I like to build teams and that I like to train people because that's what it's been this year. It seems like as soon as I get a team together and I've trained people and they all work really well together, God moves me to a different place where I have to do it all over again. And I'm like, dear God, can I just rest and just enjoy finally finding the right people to place together? And God says, no. So for me, it's been a very frustrating year at work trying to build a team and get people in place that know what they're doing and actually come to work. And at the same time, I was really struggling with, God, you told me you were going to deliver me from this. You know, God told me earlier in the year that there was a series of changes coming. I didn't realize those changes included puppies. But he told me that there were a series of changes coming. There were a lot of changes that were going to be coming. And so I tried to brace myself for that. And that can be overwhelming. And sometimes you just go through life and it's just one step, one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. And that's kind of how I've been taking this year. And so I've gone for such a long time where I'm like, God, do I leave my job or don't? I'm not leaving my job without having another one, so where's the opportunity that you told me was coming? You know, where is it? Because I don't see it. And so it's been a year of waiting, and I pointed at Deb because she looked at me one time at Jenny and Gina's engagement party and said, what's God saying to you? Just out of the blue. God told me to wait. and he is, and it's not an easy thing to be told because sometimes you feel like every time you turn around, God's telling you to wait. It's like, wait for what? Why do I have to wait all the time? When's it going to come to fruition? Like, when am I going to see these things? And God's like, just wait. And so you keep going one foot in front of the other, and that's kind of what I've been doing, and I'm still in that place. You know, but along the way, I'm looking at my journey through 2015, and I'm so glad that I agreed to lead Kennesaw Home Group again this year. Because even though here I am struggling, and I was hating my boss. I was hating my coworker. I was hating the employees that I hired, you know, and just really struggling with even going to work every day because, I mean, I live in Marietta and I work in Duluth, and I got to go through so many construction zones. It's, you know, to not like your job is one thing, or to be frustrated with it, I should say, is one thing. But then to add a two-hour commute on the way home on top of that just blows it up. But to go back and see that Wednesday nights in home group, I had to set a time aside to focus on God. Like, it forced me to focus on God and to focus on other people and what I could be doing to minister to them and what God was saying to me or what God wanted to say to them. And out of that, people were just like, hey, let's just get together and read the Bible. You know, out of that came Kristen leading a community Bible study. And I never thought that I would see that. I thought it was the coolest thing. And I'd love to see that start up again. You know, it's just, it was always amazing. And Eric, you know, you were there on a regular basis. It's always amazing what God does with people when he lights that fire, as you were saying. You know, I've seen that. I've seen Chris come out of nowhere to really answer our prayer for help. You know, we need relief. We love what we do. But sometimes we need to be ministered to. Sometimes we need to minister to people in other ways. And we need those volunteers. It's all about faithfulness. I have a picture of what he's going to do. I have no idea how it's going to play out. I put that one foot in front of the other. Because that's how you grow as a Christian. You know, that's how you learn to trust God. You don't just wait in one place and then say, okay, God, I'm not moving until you show me exactly where I'm going. Moses didn't do that. What would happen if Moses did that? And so I feel like in order to grow, you have to purposefully do it. If we just stand in one spot and wait for God to show us exactly where we're supposed to go next, then we're going to be waiting a pretty long time. It's along our journey where we're going to make some missteps, and God will show us that. But that's how you learn, and that's how you get to that next level in your walk with God, and that's how you learn to hear his voice a little bit more in tune. You know, that's how you're able to move and progress. But it's also, sometimes when you take those missteps, that's where you find somebody else that took a misstep. And you can help them get back on track too. You know, how many times have we done that? There was a reason God had me waiting and still has me waiting. And he told me, oh, so politely, it's because I had things that I needed to learn. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're in a tough spot and you're waiting for God to deliver and bring you to another spot, take some time to pray, okay, what am I supposed to be learning? Because usually the saying is you keep going around the mountain over and over and over again until you pass the test, right? Well, I keep failing, and so I keep going around and around and around. And God told me very specifically, there's something that you need to learn, and there's something you need to teach. And so that's what I focused on in my job, and in doing that, I've learned some things that will help me here at church, but also in my job. And I've learned that God is not going to take me from a place and destroy my testimony if I leave in the wrong way. And so I needed to teach things so that if I were to leave, the team wouldn't fall apart. And that was very important because everyone knows that I go to church. Everyone knows that I serve in the sound booth. Everyone at my job knows that I leave a home group on Wednesdays. And so if I were to just up and leave, slam my stuff down and walk out, talk, you know, because I've wanted to throw keys in people's face and be like, I'm out. If I were to do that, that would completely destroy any seeds that I had sown in any kind of way at that job. And it's very important that we keep our testimony. And so again, if 2015 was a difficult year, maybe take some time today and look at it as a year of growth. What have you learned? What do you need to learn, you know, before you go into the next season? And then what are you still waiting on? What are you still expecting? You know, maybe it's not going to come the same way that you think it's going to come, but it will come. You know, God has plans for us. We don't always know what those plans are. Sometimes we have an idea, and I think that's where we get frustrated because it's not happening in the time frame we want. I feel like, you know, when God tells me he's going to do something, I'm thinking, okay, great, I'll wait 2 weeks and we're good. I'll wait a month and we're good. No, it's been years. you know, in the Bible, you know, God had a thing about 40 years, and I'm hoping it doesn't stay that way. But that's all that I wanted to share with you guys. I'm so happy that I stepped up this year into different roles around the church. I'm happy that I did that, even though my personal life was not in order, even though I was frustrated with things and frustrated with God. I'm happy that I did that because my joy, I'm like a proud parent when I see other people come up here and start ministering to other people. I'm a proud parent when Ryan gets up here and shares. I'm a proud parent when I see Ryan going and praying over people, or when I see Kristen leading a community Bible study, or when I see people just reaching out to new folks and saying, hey, do you want to go meet up and do this thing? Hey, come over, I'm having a party. I'm just so proud of all of you. I'm so proud of you. Like, that's what makes my year in 2015. It doesn't really matter what's going on in my personal life because I know God has it. But to see the people that were at Pride, you know, serving God, to see Sylvia and her kids, you know, doing things that I know that I can't, it's not my gift to go out and just say, oh, there's no. So I can't say that, you know. You get away with it, and I'm glad. I'm glad God gave you that gift. But you guys have done so well this year. No matter what Satan has told you, no matter what your parents have told you, no matter what your friends and family and coworkers have told you, you guys have done so well this year in stepping up. And I want to see that continue for 2016.
Father, we just want to thank you for all the many things you've done for us throughout this year. The good times, the bad times, the in-between times. We all know that they come from you and everything is through you. Father, just be with each person here today as they go their way, and be with the families and friends that are traveling this week. We know that you have some just incredible things for so many during the new year. We just pray that you have your hand on each person and lead them in the direction that you want them to go, and for them to be open for what you have for them to accept all the greatness, all the blessings, all the mercy, all the grace that you have for each and every one of us. Just let us know that you are with us. Father, we love you, we love you, we love you. Thank you for everything you do for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great new year. We'll see you next Sunday.